freedom in China? It's the Great Reset on Grand Forks Best Source. Executive Director David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition in the studio today, along with Father Stephen McKenna. Dr. Dan, he's under the weather today, so Dan couldn't make it. But big shout out to Alberta Clipper Snow Removal for bringing you the show today. You know, if you're looking to make some good extra money this winter, Christmas isn't that far away. Get a hold of Alberta Clipper Snow Removal. I've worked for these guys before. They're looking for equipment operators for snow removal this winter. You can operate nice, warm equipment. Almost all of their work is commercial and the big parking lots, easy stuff, all in Grand Forks. Chance for you to make good money moving snow without using a shovel. Yeah, you can wear sweatpants and tennis shoes if you want. Pay will depend on experience. Call to find out how you can make easy extra money this winter. It's Alberta Clipper Snow Removal. Call 701-739-1380. That's 701-739-1380. Make sure you call them up soon, all right? If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call or text our number here at the studio, 701-213-0863. 701-213-0863. Now, we don't put this show on Facebook or YouTube because we keep getting our hands slapped and put in jail. But if you want to listen live, go to the GFBS source, GFBestSource.com. Click listen now. It's all live. If you want to chat, click the Twitch link in the upper left corner. We're now on Rumble, too. It's posted on the GFBS Facebook page. all right, before we get too much further into the show, we got to do it. Time for our segment, our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. You know, I had a happy childhood, very happy childhood. My dad, he'd put me in tires and roll me down hills. Those were good years. Oh. Hey, I got a thumb up from Dale. How about that? He actually used to put me in inner tubes and roll me down hills. And those weren't good years. before we talk with David and Father Stephen, a couple of things I'm going to go through like we always do on the Great Reset. VAERS now released numbers. I think they're still the same. Were they still November 16th before? I can't remember. But 17,537 deaths from the vaccine as of November 16th. I don't know if you saw that disposition last week with Fauci. But he couldn't even recall important actions and discussions during the pandemic. He couldn't even remember what was going on at this big disposition last week, which does not surprise me. GOP lawmakers, you know, they plan to seek testimony from Fauci after they take control of the House in January, which I cannot wait to see. I would love to see him up there squirming in front of these people, but that'll be coming up in January. And then Biden, of course, he's calling on Congress because there could be a big railroad strike. And, of course, what would that do to the country if we don't have a railroad? And Biden and the Democrats, after what happened with the shootings in Virginia and Colorado, calling for another assault weapons ban, which I do not agree with. I get it that these people were shot and killed and hurt and injured by these assault weapons, but it doesn't matter. If you've got somebody that is having some mental issues or something, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they use an assault rifle, if they use a knife, if they use a regular gun, or if they use a grenade. They're going to find a way to do it. I just don't think that the assault rifles is the thing. I already got a text, and thanks for to Aaron. Clarification from last week. COVID money is only for deaths attributed to COVID, not for those injured from the squirts. Well, I beg to differ. My mother-in-law, it's on her death certificate, died from the squirt.
Yeah.
And her whole entire funeral was almost paid for with COVID money that North Dakota had, or Minnesota had, whatever it was, national, I don't know. Anyway.
I think that's the agreement under the clause that protects the pharmaceutical companies, right? The law that protects them. There's like a pool that they put money into. So right. there's like a standard payout for if somebody does have an injury related to it. So they can't sue the pharmaceutical companies for more money.
Oh, sure.
But they'll give you a token payout as as a settlement.
Yeah, here's our little goodwill gesture because your mom died.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember what it's called, but I'm sure Aaron would be able to tell us the name of it. I forget. It's a vaccine injury compensation program that was developed between the pharmaceutical companies and the U.S. government because back in the day, pharmaceutical companies said, we're not going to develop vaccines anymore because mm-hmm. they're just too, it puts them at too great a risk for lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And the government basically said, no, well, we need those. We need vaccines. We need you to keep developing vaccines. So here's what we'll do. You do that. We'll remove all liability from you. And if anybody gets injured from your vaccines, then we'll establish this fund. And then they can come to vaccine court and make their case, and which is not really a court. It's kind of a joke. They can make their case to see if they actually, if we think they actually got injured. And they had a list of injuries from vaccines that would be covered and would be compensated for by this money that's really it's our tax yeah. dollars at work. Right. And that list of injuries has been shrinking ever since.
Yeah.
So if you don't fall into the specific category that they recognize, oh, this is an injury that really could be caused by that vaccine, you get nothing except injury.
By the way, or death. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much. Yes, sir.
How'd your Thanksgiving go?
Oh, it was, you know, it was great. We celebrated with a couple that we haven't seen, and boy, some friends of ours we really haven't gotten together with for like 20 years, and so we had some catching up to do. She's a nurse, retired nurse, and he's a former UND professor of geology, geography. They both start with geo, and so it's easy to
big difference though.
And there's a big difference. Rocks versus maps.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So. So yeah, it was very nice. Thank you. Very, very kind of laid back, and we just enjoyed some great food and put on some unwanted pounds. And
oh gosh, I know. I still have a turkey hangover. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, and for the first time ever, that I can remember, we had Thanksgiving at my house. So we actually got leftovers. Normally we don't.
Oh, nice.
So, my wife whipped up a really good soup last night and all of that. But
so if you have the turkey hangover, would you count that as being wung over?
Hold on here. There we go. How are you, by the way?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. Well. And how'd you spend your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving is one of those days that we really look forward to because it's usually a quiet day. So, yeah, there's very few of them. There's not much going on. People mm-hmm. come for mass in the morning, and then everything gets quiet. And so that's, you know, caught up on a few little things, but called family, and then just relaxed for a while for the day.
Where were you?
I was in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yep, and then we went out to eat for dinner. So that was good.
Nice day.
Yes, that was real nice.
Aaron did reply. The PrEP Act is in use with emergency use authority shots. No one has received any compensation from COVID shots through them.
So I wonder what kind of compensation your family got.
It still might have been under the Emergency Use Act. Then.
It could have been. Yeah, I'm not sure. If my better half is watching, maybe she will chirp in and see, but if she does, she'll always text on my phone. She doesn't want people to know who she is. So any amount given for the funeral expenses and medical personnel encouraged to put down COVID as cause of death? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
Anyway.
That's very interesting. So maybe, yeah, and you know what? Here's the deal. I hate to get into an argument with Erin McSparren about these kinds of things because she really knows her stuff.
Oh, it's going down. Now.
She does. Yeah, she's very, very knowledgeable. I don't know how she does it. I mean, because she works full time and she works in the healthcare industry, and somehow she just happens to know.
Most women know more than we do?
She's got the. Well, I mean, she's. Yeah, she's good. She's a fantastic asset to Midwest Public Health Coalition because she studies and she retains it somehow. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's not had COVID. You know, her brain is working at 110%.
Right, right. Yeah. Or if she did, she doesn't know it. Like me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there was a couple of times I thought I had it, got tested, didn't.
Yes.
A couple of times I figured I had it, wasn't going to go get tested, and screw it.
Yeah, exactly.
Get over it.
Right.
Okay.
So I think that we should let Dan take the I'm just kidding. Look, you know what? I just have a thing from the a couple of things from the
I don't
the,
have a mustache.
Current issue. You know, my son almost came on the show. I asked him to come on the show, and he didn't have a good night's sleep last night, so he chose not to. But he has one. He does. So yeah? We could have.
Is had, it
we
anything compared to Dr. Dan? Because if he's still got that thing going on, I mean. That's got to be epic, you know, by today. Oh, gosh, yeah.
That guy has to shave like 3 times a day.
Oh, he has
so
to.
It's not, it's I like, mean, for him to grow a mustache, he could decide in the morning and by the next morning have a full, you know.
That's like my kid. He can look like Conor McGregor after about 2 days. Just this huge, bushy thing where you got to wax and take care of. And yeah. I've been working on this for going on 50 years now. This is about all I can get. So.
So the current, this is the latest edition of the Epic Times, and let's see, November 22nd through the 29th. I want to talk about this this woman, Laura Becker, who, I'm not going to do that right now, but she's a gender transition survivor, and we'll get back to her in a minute. She regrets, deeply regrets.
Well, aren't most of them survivors, or why would they do it?
Well, no, they're most of them are. I mean, many of them commit suicide.
Oh,
the suicide rate for people that have gender transition
changed her
surgery.
Mind.
The number of people who have gender transition surgery and then later commit suicide as a result is a staggering number. And they lie about it. The press lies about it. The medical establishment lies about it.
Of course.
But it is the number of people who, you know, we talked about that, I think, the last time we discussed this on the show, maybe a month or so ago. And Walter Heyer is a man that I met who, at the age of, I believe he was 42 or 43, had the surgery, started taking the hormones, and became a woman, began and lived as a woman for like 8 years. I mean, he was a bright, super intelligent engineer. He'd worked for GM. He'd worked for NASA. He then went on to, he was like the lead engineer designer for Acura, for the Acura division, mm-hmm. of Honda. Mm-hmm. And then once he did the surgery and he started acting like a woman, dressing like a woman, he lost his job. He lost his family. And 7 or 8 years later, he woke up. Wearing an all rabbit fur coat, woke up one morning in a puddle of his own vomit and said, "What I had before had to be better than this," because at that point he's an alcoholic, homeless, and he pulled a card out of his pocket that someone had given him a few months earlier and said, "Hey, when you're ready to get sober, give me a call." And he called this guy, and the guy took him in, let him sleep in his garage, and he went through the process and ended up not only becoming sober, but became a Christian in the process. And he's now, you know, he talked to the people that helped him, the transition counselors, and they say, "Oh, everybody that transitions is so much happier afterwards." And he said, "That wasn't my experience." And he just started wondering, is there anybody else besides me who really regrets that decision? So he built a website himself and put his testimony, his story on it, and said, "If you have transitioned and regret it, please email me." And the first year his website was up, he had over 700 emails from people saying, "I wish I could go back. Can you help me? What do I do? How do I go back and regain the life that I threw away?" That was the first year. I don't know how many years he's had his website up now, but when he was, I met him in Bismarck a couple of months ago, and he said he's had over 2 million people contact him.
Wow.
That's a lot of regret.
It just seems odd to me that you wait until your 40s to do something like that.
It was probably massively expensive, so.
Well, no, that's true.
He had an enormous, he was very wealthy. He had like a six-figure income, an unlimited design budget when he was working for Acura. But what happened was he eventually went back to a counselor and said, maybe it was the counselor that advised him to transition, because he said, you're a woman living in a man's body. The way that it worked was that when he was 6 or 7 years old, he went to visit his aunt, and she was a seamstress, and she sewed a beautiful purple chiffon dress for him.
Oh boy!
And dressed him in it, and then told him how pretty he was. And whenever he'd go over to see her, she'd have him wear that dress, and that actually led to him being sexually molested by his uncle. Later, his father found out what was going on and took a wooden floor plank and beat him with it. So that creates what people in the industry call trauma.
He should have went and beat the uncle with it.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, so he was traumatized as a child, and his sexual identity obviously was messed up, but he... You know, like a lot of people do with, you know, PTSD and other forms of trauma. When a child experiences trauma, and this is something I'm not a psychologist, but I've read enough to know that when a child experiences trauma, I think particularly sexual trauma prior to puberty, but it can be really any trauma, that has to be dealt with. I mean, it's because otherwise it's going to come out later in life in ways that are very unhealthy. And he never got any kind of counseling to help him with that until he said to this, after he had retransitioned, was living as a man again, and went to see a counselor and said, why didn't you ever ask me if I ever experienced trauma as a child? And she said, oh, well, did you? He said, well, I had this, this, and this happen to me. And she said, oh, you need trauma therapy. Well, yeah, duh. Why didn't she ask him that at the very beginning?
Right? Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these people who go through these surgeries are children that experience some form of trauma as a child. And now they have this, and then they have people saying, oh, here's your answer. You're really a woman living in a man's body. Oh, you're a man living in a woman's body. That's your solution, and it's not
and
the
I have
solution.
To imagine, too, that it's... In addition to just being a disordered mind, like really, when you think of it, if you're in a position where you're going to change from a man to a woman, the reason why there would be so much depression, I would imagine, is because at the core of it, it's not that you think you're a different sex; it's that you don't like yourself. You know, I mean, there's like a real depression already existent in there.
Yes,
and that you've gone to the point where you are so unhappy with yourself that you have to even the simple genetic makeup that you are has to change.
That's I'm so glad you said that, because that is exactly what not only he said that, but other experts who were at this this seminar that both Aaron McSmarin was there as well, and I attended, that they develop because of the trauma, especially if it's the kind of trauma that he went through. They develop a self-hatred. I mean, they begin to hate their bodies. How many people go through puberty and during the process say, oh, I love this. This is great. The hormones and the different feelings and thoughts that come. No, that's uncomfortable for everybody, right? So if you're going through that and you've already experienced trauma, there is a kind of a body hatred that takes place.
Sure,
yeah.
And they want to fix that. And they say, well, the reason you hate your body is because that's because you're really a different sex inside. And that's, of course, not it at all. One of the people who spoke wrote a book called, I think it's called Love Your Body. And she's an expert on gender dysphoria and all these kinds of feelings. And she said that's really what it is. It's body hatred, and that leads them to body mutilation. And this tremendous additional problems that, I mean, all it does is compound the problem that's already there.
Well, you know, you hear about the cutting and things that people will do to themselves. But, man, I tell you what, this is kind of taking it up to the next level, don't you think? I mean, it's not, I don't mean to laugh at it or giggle at it, but it's just times have changed, you know, from when we were teenagers to now. There was nobody telling us, you know, well, maybe it's because you really want to be a woman. You know, we didn't have that.
No.
I mean, it's also when you think about it, too, it's that it sort of falls into that category of like any attention is good attention type of thing.
Yep.
If you have such a low self-esteem and then all of a sudden you become this really extreme thing, which is somebody who has changed or attempted to change sex.
You've got the attention of now, the people now.
Good, bad, or other. Mm-hmm. You know, people are talking about you now, and now you're the center of attention. And you know, and it's, and you're going to have your people that are going to rally behind you. And
well, you know, that's, it's kind of like this whole Bruce Jenner thing. There's a lot of people saying, you know what, once all the press and all of that stuff starts to forget about Bruce Jenner, forget about the Kardashians and all of that stuff, a lot of people are saying, you know what, he'll go back to being a man. And I just wonder if that's going to do it, because he's against all this transgender sports things, and he says there's no way, and he's totally against the fact that a man can identify as a woman to go win swim meets and stuff like that. He's against it. And that's, I just wonder if when all the press is finally away from him and he can go back to flying his RC radio air controlled airplanes and all that, maybe he'll go back to being the world's greatest athlete that was on a Wheaties box. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people think it was just a media ploy. I don't know.
Is it even possible to do that?
Well, I don't think he had anything surgically done. I think he's taken the hormones and things like that, but I think he's still all there downstairs, as far as I know.
That's
McKenna's just rolling his eyes like, oh boy, what did I get into
here?
I'm
not an expert in this.
You know,
I'm not mature enough for this conversation.
You know, this is all hearsay, shoulda, woulda, coulda. You just don't know.
You know, I think that there's also, and it's easy to forget this, but I think that there's also a very strong spiritual component to this. You know, God said in Genesis that he said, let us make man in our image. And then he created them male and female. He created them male and female. So that sexual designation is something that God established and instituted. And so to say, no, you're not really a man, John, you're a woman with a mustache, and you need to get in touch with your real self. That is a direct assault against God and his word. Because they're saying, no, you're not a man, you're not a woman, you're whatever you think you are. And there's a whole spectrum of different genders in between those two extremes, which is, of course, I think it's demonic. Mm-hmm. I think that's a demonic teaching, and it's so I think that you can't ignore that spiritual element, and that's, it's obviously increasing. Who are the guy, the Wachowski brothers, who made the movie, wrote and produced, wrote and directed The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Big film. And they're now the Wachowski sisters, right? Because they both had the surgery and went through this stuff. And I haven't heard any interviews with them lately, but I would be very, very surprised to hear them both say, you know, I'm so happy I did this. I doubt that they really are.
And as you talk about that, Aaron says it's also denying God and wanting to be your own God.
Right.
And it is. And lop a dick off of me.
Oh.
Here. There we go.
That was from Paul, I believe. Give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. That's actually kind of funny.
But the fact that they're doing these things to young children who really are not even in a position to vote. I mean, they're not even old enough to vote, and yet they're old enough to decide with the help of a twisted, perverted medical professional that, yeah, I'm going to mutilate my, I'll let you mutilate my body.
Yeah.
Right. And then they do that.
Yeah. Somebody sent me something the other day that said, you know, took my kid to my 14-year-old son to get a tattoo. They told him, they denied him because he wasn't mature enough. They said he wasn't mature enough to make such a long-term decision. So I took him to the clinic to get a sex change.
Oh my goodness! You know?
That's exactly.
It's. I mean, that's
it makes the point.
That's the absurdity that we're at, right?
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
You know, it's the same thing with. You know, when it's agenda driven, there's no level of depravity that they won't fall to. It's the same thing with abortion. It's been the same way. You know, you can't have a tonsillectomy without parent consent and signing all the forms and everything. But you can go and have an abortion without telling your parents, or, you know, having any adult with you or anything like that. It's you know, what happens if that kid dies there too? You know, it's like, it's, or, you know, the same thing with the gender reassignment. I mean, how can you say that the 13-year-old kid going through puberty in high school and or middle school or whatever knows what the heck they're talking about.
And they never seem to offer counseling as a first alternative, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. They don't have people have specialized directions for learning in school because most people can't choose what profession they want to be as a 15-year-old, let alone, you know, figuring out your way through, as you make your way through puberty, and that you're not all screwed mm-hmm. up and something like that. So
yeah. So what's driving it? What is driving this madness being pushed
the
on
talking
these
heads kids? on the screen? You know, it's the society itself driving it. When you think about it, right? That's the gentleman that you talked about. How long ago did he have the reassignment surgery?
Let's see, 40 years ago.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I was in a college class, and unbeknownst to us, they had one of these people come in, had gender reassignment surgery, come in and talk. And I thought it was just a lady talking until all of a sudden starts going through the story, going, what the heck? But I mean, it was at those times, like, those were really the outlier, you know, probably illegal surgery, if not, you know, just really hard to find type of surgery, and certainly social outliers. Now you can't turn anywhere without running into it. We have entire months dedicated to it now. You know, it's everywhere. And that's the thing. They're all going through now. I think that media influence has so much power, really, when you think about it. It's you know, it's just, you can't, you couldn't have imagined anybody being that way when you were growing up. And now it's, you know, they have multiple people with gender identity problems per grade and per school, you know. It's,
yeah, but do you really think that it's that the society as a whole wants that? I mean, do you think that the average Joe wants
not society
that?
As like not the average Joe walking down the street. It's those running the narrative of society mm-hmm. who want it. So it's the same thing with the COVID stuff. You know, the average person doesn't want to close down their business because the sniffles are coming through.
No.
But the reality of it was that this overwhelming, powerful narrative came blasting at them. Now the transgender thing is the, you know, where the gay agenda was 5 years ago, the transgender thing is now, and it's this, like, you can't say anything against that or say in any way, shape, or form that that's wrong or disordered, and then without being called a bigot. And so, and now it's, you know, everybody experiments with these things. You know, that's what I was told about high school. Like, you know, somebody was like 10 years younger than me. You know, there's probably like a couple people in the school that I graduated with that we kind of assumed were gay or something like that. And otherwise, it was largely like the an insult to say to mm-hmm. somebody. Now, like I said, 10 years later, after I graduated, I had seen somebody tell me, like, oh, it's weird that if you don't have a gay experience in school, you know, that it's that most people, because it becomes, the narrative pushes it so much that it's becomes normalized, and then kids who are all confused and everything are pressured into doing this, and then you know, and then they have to live with the regret later on. So
yeah, and I think that there's a you know, There's a period of time, especially during puberty, when there is a lot of confusion that goes on.
Sure.
But I think that the, you know, in terms of who's pushing it, I believe that it's Satan, at the top. Is there another show going on over there?
I don't know.
Okay. At the top, and then the other people pick up on it. But it's a very deliberate thing. This whole transgender thing really hit with, you know, like a bulldozer during COVID or right after COVID. I mean, it's all of a sudden, it's everywhere. It's not just here. It's around the world.
Too many people with too much time in their hands stuck at home.
No, it's not. I don't think that just happens organically. I think that it's clearly there was a lead up to it. But now it's like pushed in the schools, suddenly schools around the country. If it was L.A. County, I'd say, okay, yeah, I can see that. If it was San Francisco, I'd say, yeah, That makes sense. Because look at the population, look at who, you know, the attraction to that particular type of community there. But it's not. It's Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Yeah.
It is nationwide. It's happening all at the exact same time.
Well, it's definitely more prevalent in those places, though. The whack-a-mole places.
But yeah, but it's not. But
the, it's not exclusive, but it's definitely.
But I'm not talking about individuals who say, I think I want to do that. I'm talking about policy changes in the schools themselves.
Yeah.
That's what we're fighting. It's not a matter of kids just saying, yeah, I'm confused. It's a matter of schools establishing policies, and it's not just transgender policies. You know, the everything that's happening right now, it's as if we've gone back 5,000 years in our understanding of how the human mind works, how emotions work. It's like we have zero understanding of that whatsoever, because everything that the public schools are doing right now is not only provably harmful, it's predictably harmful. The no touch policies.
Mm.
When I was in school, we've talked about this multiple times on the show. I've seen kids slammed into lockers by teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You were hung upside down.
Well, I saw a guy. I got punched in the chest by the same teacher. Yeah, knocked me right out of my desk.
Yeah. Got punched in the chest by the teacher that hung another student upside down by his ankles out a window. Right,
Second floor, third floor.
I think that those. I think that,
probably still.
I think that type of behavior is abusive, and I think that it leads to an unhealthy fear of those teachers. It certainly did for me when I saw that kind of stuff happen. But you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, right?
No.
Just because there are teachers that are abusive of their power doesn't mean, you know what, we're going to strip every teacher from every ability that they have to even lay a finger on a child. I was talking with someone last week who said that, and this was I think 10 years ago, a relative of hers was actually Dr. Gullix. She could tell a story next time she's on the show. Who was a teacher in the public school, broke up a fight, did something, grabbed two boys by the shoulder and pulled them apart. He was fired and charged with felony abuse of a student. Jeez. For doing that. So the fact that now they have no, because of stuff like that, they have a no touch policy. So two kids can be beating each other to a pulp in the hallway, and that teacher stands there and says, "Now stop."
You can holler at them all you want, but that's it.
And the funny thing is, part of the problem is that the kids generally aren't beating each other in the hallway anymore. And this is something that's weird that I found when, you know, Dan and I, and, you know, kind of like talking to some people that were younger, that, you know, when I was in middle school, it's probably the same for you guys. When I was in middle school, junior high, whatever it was, there's fight like every day.
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah.
And then high school, it was less, but there was still regular fights and things like that. And it was just, I'm not condoning kids fighting, but there is a part of natural progression that, like, young boys becoming men sort of figure out ways to problem solve, and that's sort of one of the things that they do. So there is a reality to some degree, not an excusing reality, but there is some reality to the, you know, boys will be boys aspect. There,
sure.
You have to let them develop, and young men have aggression, and when they're going to butt heads in that way. But what usually happens after a fight, the problem is over, it goes away, and it's no longer an issue. You know,
that's what it should be.
You came to blows, and now we've sort of settled the matter, and so we're not going to.
And now we can be friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, but we would ask people that, you know, 10 years younger than me, oh, I never saw a fight in the entire time through school. What? And it's like, well, we have safe spaces. It's like, So that's the level of emasculation that's taking place. Again, not promoting fighting, but there are times when, you know, hey, a bully's picking on you, you stand up for yourself.
Sure.
and you take care of business. And that was, you know, and now that there's no outlet for that whatsoever, and you wonder why kids now start shooting up schools or hanging themselves in their closet and things like that, because they haven't gotten out in a way to sort of like deal with the problem. They haven't figured out how to deal with the issues.
And there is a change to that that's going on right now. I just heard from, and I think we got a, I'm getting a strange vibe about something.
About cake?
cake, and cookies.
I'm and cupcakes. Feeling,
and I don't know why, but
there's something to fight over.
But yes. I need something to fight over.
Well, you can see the logo down in the left corner there. We're talking about Oh for Heaven's Cakes, best cupcakes and cakes, whether it's a special occasion or just a treat. You can order them, or you can walk in to find out more. While you're there, they have got some pretty good grub going on there. Homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. If you own a business, you want to treat those hardworking employees to something special, check out their monthly employee discounts. Over Heaven's Cakes, they're right on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall here. They're open, Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. You can call them up, 701-757-CAKE, or go to overheavenscakes@yahoo.com. And if you're looking for a cake job, Over Heaven's Cakes is hiring too. Hey, be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Over Heaven's Cakes right here in the Grand Cities Mall. We love that place. Producer Paul is sitting down with us now. Oh, I wanted to mention this too. I forgot to. We do have the Grand Forks Youth Hockey Gun Raffle tickets here with Shields. They've got a whole mess of guns. If you're looking for one of these, $20. We've got them here at the studio. I bought one. Dale bought one. We've all bought one if you're looking for one. Here we go. Freedom in China with a question mark. The Great Reset. Of course, we have got Executive Director David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition and Father Stephen McKenna, a frequent guest on the show, and Paul, the producer, and what's going on?
Okay, well, with your conversation, I think you're missing a big aspect that is taking place now, though, because, you know, back in the day, you know, you get in a fight, like you said, and you might shake hands afterward, but it's not the case anymore, because now you got all the kids in there sitting there and they're TikToking it, and then that kid deals with the humiliation of that video going around yes. for the next month. Right. And then that's when that kid decides that he's going to shoot up a school or something.
Right. Yeah, and, and that's the hard part, too, right? If it's spread on social media, that in anybody's mind, but especially in kids' minds, it's so easily to mistake that that's the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you think that that's the real world, it's really just social media, and you think that it's going to last forever, but in reality, there's going to be something else next week that people are going to be talking about.
Sure.
But in the moment...
Unless it goes on TikTok, and then it does last forever.
Well, I mean, right? It lasts forever, but it's... But they're moved on to somebody else.
They'll find something else.
Something else that they're going to be...
They'll find a couple other young kids about beating each other up or something.
Oh, and speaking of Freedom for China... Don't any of you know what that is?
Piece of paper, a white flag.
No, that's the protests in China right now.
Oh,
that's what they're doing.
Oh, covering their faces from the
camera. No, it's the white paper protest because they're because they can't write anything because it'll get censored.
Oh,
so they can't censor just a blank piece of paper.
They're
piece of paper. So everybody in China right now, they're all holding up blank pieces of paper.
Wow, that's very good. Oh, you know what? That used to be that. Yeah, I'm going to get to China in just a second. I want to first say that I just heard from a parent this fighting is starting up again with a vengeance in the schools, public school. There was one parent that said that her son took his phone and just filmed fights in one day, three fights in one day. And he wasn't looking for them. He was just as he was going to class, either the fight in the class or the fight in the out in the hallway. And she said, "These kids are beating each other."
Can you say what school?
It was a Fargo school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the policy, because it's a no touch policy. And I confirmed this with a teacher from Mentor, Minnesota. I was talking with her. I said, "Do you know what happens in Fargo if a kid throws a chair across the room? Do you know what happens?" They clear the room, and they let the kid trash the room or do whatever he wants to until he settles down, you know, lock the doors.
That's true. I asked my daughter. She's in elementary school, and she said, yeah, that's exactly what happens.
You know, in
like
all defense...
timeout.
In all defense of the teacher that punched me so hard he knocked me out of my desk and hung a guy out the window of the third floor by his ankles, still to this day, I had more respect for that guy. And the thing is I knew it. He warned us. I've seen what he's done.
Yeah.
If you cheat, if you lie, if you do that in this class, you will pay. And I did. I cheated, and then I lied, and I got punched. And I still, I mean, I respected that man forever. But this is ridiculous. You know, teachers, you wonder why they don't want to teach anymore. You wonder why they don't want to go into the profession anymore. It's just ridiculous.
No, most of the best ones are leaving. I've talked with paras who say it's just, it's hideous what they have to endure. In the lunchroom, lunchroom monitors who say that what happens in the lunchroom, they can't even, they said it's like, it's hellish for an hour and a half while they're there and they can't wait to get out.
When I was in high school, one of my teacher, he took me out in the hallway and he was kind of manhandling me. A week later, he was fired because the Spanish teacher across the hall saw it and he reported him.
Really? Yep. See, in my opinion, now I'm sure we're going to get some backlash over this. Depending on the age, there's settings on these stun guns and these you know, warn them. Give them one warning. Give them two warnings. If they don't listen, zap them.
But you're under the false notion that somehow people actually want to solve problems.
Well, exactly. Right.
They don't want to solve problems. They want to create problems.
We just want to make it get worse and worse and worse.
Well, imagine if they start
identifying as dogs, then you could put a shock collar on them.
Yeah.
And then it's fair game, right?
He's tried that before.
That's very funny. Do they have shock collars for cats as well?
Maybe. I mean,
just tighten them up a little bit more.
I was talking with this teacher, and I said, in Fargo, if a kid throws a chair, they lock down the room, let the kid trash the room, and make the other kids sit out in the hall. What a great way to learn, right? If you're there trying to learn something, anything, and all of a sudden, no, you got to wait in the hall, or you've got to get locked in your classroom and not be able to use the bathroom because someone's having a temper tantrum out in the hallway. And she said, "Oh yeah, that's the same policy up in Minnesota." I said, "And this no touch policy, kids, the teacher can't separate two kids that are fighting." So nope, can't do that.
Every time you have a test that you didn't study for, you just like
throw a chair. So I don't think the tests count anymore. I don't think do they grade anymore?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they grade because there's no I just heard last night that in Chicago, someplace in Illinois, I think it's Chicago. Basic skills, reading, writing, arithmetic in middle school, 6% actually have, 6% of the students actually can pass a basic skills test at their level for reading, writing, and arithmetic.
6%.
That means 94% of them, 94 out of 100 can't do basic.
In their defense, they don't know what percentages are.
So,
good point.
I mean, this is we need Paul in the public schools. I would love to see Paul in the school board.
Here's a little invite. If anybody's watching this show, especially maybe you're a teacher that just retired or got out of the business, if you agree with us and some of the stuff that's going on, get a hold of us. All right, we'd love to have you on the show. Hell, if you want to, we'll put a mask on you and you can wear dark shades and we'll disguise your voice if you're really worried about it. But
there you go.
I mean, this isn't stuff that is a secret anymore. This is stuff that is getting out there in the media. Everybody's hearing about it and it's not going to get any better before it gets,
I don't know, John. I don't think everybody's hearing about it. I think that parents, a lot of parents are completely clueless about what's happening. My next door neighbor, oh, there's no such thing as furries. I've Googled that. I've fact-checked it. It's not happening. They did a study in Colorado, and there are no furries anywhere.
I Googled it.
Yeah, they have.
I'm talking to this woman from Minnesota, and she said to me, I didn't even ask her. She just said, I mentioned something about it. And she said, I told her about another teacher, math teacher, who had a young girl come into her math class. And she asked the girl a question, and the response was, meow.
Yeah.
And she said something to her again, and she said, meow. And the teacher said, now listen, Julie, whatever her name was, you're a beautiful young girl, and I don't have animals. I don't have kitties in my math class. You're a beautiful young girl, and we're going to get along just fine. And the girl said, yes, Mrs. Keller. And that was the end of it. So I told that story to this other teacher, and she said, yeah, we have a kitty in our classroom, and we're dealing with it. I thought, are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with it, or are you allowing it? Because the way you deal with it is you say, I don't have kitties in my classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
End of story.
I'll pick them up by the back of the neck.
Move on.
Yeah, I want to see how big is that litter box in the classroom, you know?
That was what Dan was saying last time I was in, wasn't he, that there was a school that was like getting sued or something because they didn't have litter boxes in the classroom for...
My goodness.
So this is not a hypothetical thing, right? This isn't a Hollywood movie.
No,
this is reality. This is the destruction of American youth happening right before our very eyes.
Yeah.
And if parents don't stand up, what's the answer? The answer is parents need to stand up. They need to go before the schools, the school boards, and demand that that not happen anymore. If the parents don't do that, it will continue to happen, and we'll lose an entire generation. And once we lose the generation, we lose the country.
Yeah, what's it going to be like 30 years from now? These people are going to be the leaders of our country. Goodness.
It'll be like China.
China will be freer than we are.
Yeah.
Because in China, you know what sparked the thing in China? The protests? Where people are literally risking their lives to say, down with President Xi?
Mm-hmm.
Down with Xi? What? You don't say that and live to see another day.
Yeah.
Not in a place like China.
No.
They're saying it now. Mm-hmm. Thousands of them are saying it. Down with the CCP and worse. They're saying things that I won't say even on. Yeah. And they are. That's a death sentence unless there are enough of you. And there are a lot of them. So it's time for America to follow the Chinese model. And for us to grow a spine, to grow a backbone, you know, if you go and you complain at the schools, you're not risking your life.
No.
You might be risking being
You might get put on YouTube or something.
You might be labeled a domestic terrorist by the FBI, but you're not risking your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the problems is that we Americans are so grotesquely wealthy. I mean, the wealth in America is beyond comprehension of most societies prior to the last 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even imagine. The kings couldn't imagine what a middle class, that dying breed of middle class Americans enjoy on a regular basis. They couldn't even imagine living in that kind of luxury. And we not only take it for granted, we despise the life, many of us despise the life that we live, and we think that somehow we're persecuted or we're pushed down. Anybody that said that complains about life in America has never seen what life is like in other
parts
of the
world. And I'm guessing if they do complain about how bad life is in America, I'm pretty sure I know how they voted.
But my point is that because we have so much, most Americans are afraid of losing what they have, whether it's their job. It's really the job. Their social status.
What you've been working on saving your entire life, whatever was built up for yourself.
With a squirt, absolutely. We saw that people were fearful of losing something, which.
And oftentimes a job.
Not your life. Oftentimes their job or their status.
Sure.
And or their reputation, right? Look in China. Most of the Chinese people are very poor, especially compared to Americans. They have a lot less to lose. Other than their lives.
Yep.
And they're willing to still risk their lives to stand up for the truth. Do you know what sparked the protests in China? You know what sparked it? Dale knows. It was...
Fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fire was one thing. But the fire, that was an isolated... That was just in, what was that, in Hunan province? I don't remember exactly where the fire was. and they wouldn't let the people out. They kept the people locked in.
Hmm.
Men, women, and children died in this apartment because they were under lockdown for COVID. Because
there's also all the stuff in the street that prevented them from getting there too, right? It was like it took 3 hours for them to put out the fire or something like that, and 10 people died.
But they wouldn't let the people out of the apartment because of the China zero COVID policy. Yep. I mean, I think this is the same country that welded people's doors shut so they couldn't leave because of COVID. Here's what happened.
The same company that makes all of our masks that they tell you should wear.
Here's what happened. The World Cup.
Yeah, oh boy.
They watched the World Cup. And wait a minute. These guys, what's his name? The players are, I think, one or two, a couple of players who had COVID, and now they're out on the field playing.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute, but the narrative that the Chinese people have had is that COVID is deadly. It's horrible. Yep. If you get COVID, you're dead. Here's a guy that had COVID. I think he had it twice, and he's playing on the field.
In front of how many people in this stadium?
Yeah, running how many miles?
Yeah.
And they all went, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Still tying 0-0.
Yeah.
someone's lying to us. about how dangerous this disease is. They're trying to lock down our whole country, and here's a guy that's had it a couple of times, and he's out playing in the World Cup.
And by the way, United States has to beat Iran today. Or is it Iraq?
Okay,
Iran.
But the point is, John, when they saw that, they realized that they're being lied to and sure. that they're being manipulated and that they're, what little freedoms they had mm-hmm. were being stripped from them
right.
for no reason. That's what sparked the protests. And it's not just Hunan province. It's Beijing. It's, Shanghai. It's all over China. All over China. There have not been protests like this in China since the Tiananmen Square massacre. Yeah,
and we all remember that. At least I do.
So if America, if Americans were America. To say, hey,
America,
let's grow a spine and resist this tyranny that's coming here. And we're just going to say, no, mm-hmm. this is a constitutional republic. I've got constitutional rights, and I'm not going to let Joe Biden or any of his puppets. I mean, I think former Vice President Biden is also a puppet. But I'm not going to let him destroy my life.
Well, if he's a puppet, I'd like to know who's pulling the strings because they don't know much.
Well, he talks like this. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to say names, but I will say this. So Mind and Body from the Epoch Times, this version, I do want to say this, if I may. Look, as a patient, are you giving informed consent? That's regarding the squirt.
But this article kind of caught my eye. New nanoparticle treatment regenerates decaying teeth. Studies show that nanohydroxyapatite can remineralize decayed teeth, repairing tooth enamel and combating cavities. That's kind of a big deal. My dentist told me that I had to use fluoride toothpaste in order to achieve that, and I don't believe in it. Fluoride is one of the most toxic mm-hmm. substances known to man, so I don't use fluoride toothpaste. But he said, no, you've got to remineralize your teeth. You've got to do that with fluoride. So this is C4. Here it is. New nanoparticle treatment regenerates decaying teeth. Here, look at that. Would you tell me who's the – John, you, either one of you can do this. Who's the author of this article?
I don't know. Read that
Daniel Stanislavski.
Daniel Stanislavski? Where have I heard that name before?
He's the Dr. man behind Dan. The mustache.
He's the guy with the Wyatt Earp mustache.
The man behind the mustache. And here's a picture of him. His picture's on the thing –
Oh, no, that's not
no,
Dan.
No, that's not Dan. I'm no. sorry. Because Dan has a mustache, and this person doesn't have a mustache. I think that was probably better to put her on there anyway, because that mustache could scare some people. So there it is. So congratulations, Dr. Stanislavski. You're in the Epoch Times.
In print.
Wow.
And it's a great article. So I would like to, if I could, it's not that long, it's only a page. I'd like to take the remainder of the show to read the entire article in its entirety.
Paul, what do you got?
No, I just came to. I wanted to see the paper.
It's a great article. It really is. It's very good.
Was he the front page or?
No, that's the informed consent. It's page four of the health and fitness, mind and body section.
Okay. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Knocking that out of the park,
I did
Dr.
read the
Dan.
Whole article out loud, by the way, to my wife, and it's very good. Very good.
Most excellent.
Yes, absolutely. So he couldn't be here in person today, but we can at least
here we go. Awesome.
Give him credit for his work in the Epoch Times, the only real newspaper left in America.
Do you subscribe to that, or can you buy it somewhere?
I've never seen they have newsstands where you can buy them. Mm-hmm. I've never seen any in Grand Forks.
Okay,
one of them made it into one of the was it a Marvel film?
Is that a daily paper?
No, it's a weekly paper.
Oh, okay.
And
so
it's an international paper. It comes out. It's I don't know how many different languages it's printed in, but it's read by millions of people around the world.
If you have the subscription to the paper, do you also get access to the online articles too?
I think that it's like a slight extra charge, like an extra couple of bucks a month mm-hmm. to get both. So I get the physical paper and I also
and the reason I ask that is because I never subscribe to newspapers because I want my news when I get up in the morning. Mm. You know, so and we've only got a newspaper that is you can actually get twice a week. So, you know.
Well, there is no real there's no newspaper left, and I mean Grand Forks doesn't have a newspaper.
I can get it twice a week.
Oh, from who?
I stop at my favorite gas station, and I buy one Wednesday mornings, and then I buy one Saturday morning.
Oh, what? Who's the publisher? I didn't know there was a newspaper left.
No, it's still out of Fargo. Yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, the part-time.
And, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said newspaper.
Oh, and by the way,
that's a paper.
I will stand by this. I have since day one. They've got the best sports writers around. There you go. Okay.
They might, but that's I'm
not going to dog on the whole rag, the whole newspaper, but love their sports writers, love their outdoor writer. I think they're good.
See, I think the reason they say news and sports is because sports isn't news, right?
It depends on. You were just talking about the World Cup in the news. Well, it's a sport.
Well, it's the World Cup actually triggered a news item, which was the people saying, hey, if he had COVID and he's playing in the World Cup, how come you're locking us down?
Maybe that's where Dan is. He might be watching the World Cup.
He might Maybe be. He I, think they, I think they start at 1 or 2 this afternoon. All right, gentlemen, we got to get ready to close things up here. Any last words?
Next week I can come back and talk about Laura Becker. Here's what she says. Trauma survivor regrets gender transition. I was looking for acceptance.
Okay.
And
a good show.
She had trauma as a young girl, and then she became did the surgery and became a man, and now regrets it along with who knows how many thousands of others. Stand up for what's right. Mm-hmm. That's the only way we're going to get out of this and get back to normal. Well, it's a new normal. No.
I go hate back that. To the old I hate normal. That. Yep.
The old normal actually had problems and that we have to deal with as well.
Yep.
But it's time to go back.
And
calling boys, boys, and girls, girls. Cats are cats and dogs are dogs.
Yes. And Father McKenna, when can we expect you back in the studio? It's always nice when you're here.
Let's see. Well, I think next time I'm back in town is around Christmas time, so.
Perfect.
Tuesday after Christmas, maybe, whatever.
Mm. All right. That'll be great.
Yeah.
And then and I'll probably see it Christmas Day anyway.
All right.
I'm going to work on that.
Great.
You guys, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, John. Yeah, I'll be back in town. I'm here all the time. Never mind. Yeah.
Right. You're not a world traveler like some people, right?
That's right.
All right, there you go. Thank you guys very much. Father Stephen McKenna, and of course, Executive Director David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition for bringing you the Great Reset today. Freedom in China, another great show, which, by the way, was brought to you by Life Vantage. Are you one of those people that takes collagen? Well, have you heard about this one-of-a-kind collagen? It not only replenishes your body, but it helps your body create its own collagen using natural products, and it maintains it. Now, if you want to find out more about this amazing product, contact Stephanie Kronelka and Life Vantage. For more information, check out stephk.lifevantage.com or text 701-230-9306, or you can email skbesthealth@gmail.com. Now, that will go right to the link on the GFBS or GFBestSource.com. It'll go directly to Life Vantage, all right? Anyway, biohack your life. Do it with Life Vantage. Again, thanks to Father Stephen and David for coming on the show again today. I can't wait for next Tuesday. Let's see. We're back to high school hockey tomorrow. We're going to be bringing in Tyler Palmasino on the show, of course, the coach of the East Grand Forks Green Wave. Always fun talking with Tyler. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait. Hey, everybody, have a great day, all right? We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9. Remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. You'll never miss a show that way. And become a patron on Podbean. It's a chance for you to qualify for some pretty cool giveaways, all right? Hey, Grand Cities, what a wonderful place, right? Grand Forks Best Source is giving it an identity again.